value, the Take It With Confidence for Quick Leeway Relief, Ross Higgins, the Gently Soothe Away Aches and Pains, Nolene Brown, and the Settle Dust and Tummy's Fast, Kev Goldsby. Plus, this week's special guest, the strong one that won't make you drowsy, Artie Jack, as the Naked Vicar.
I ought not to pick her up a lady. Anyway, I'm not going to take these clothes off. Let me look in. If I catch anyone in this show taking his clothes off, Nolan Brown or Kim Colby or you, Ross Higgins, I'll rip your bloody arms off.
Finally, a message to frustrated Napoleon of Kingaroy, Queensland. No, your fantasy is not unusual. We know of many peanut farmers who think they run the country. However, should you try to make this dream a reality, be warned, you're in danger of losing your nuts.
And now, a word from the Liberal Party.
The Mercedes-Benz.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And a word from the Labour Party.
The vehicle.
Thank you.
Flat out.
And from the Country Party.
The horse.
Thank you.
Hang on, I've got another one.
What?
Super phosphate bounty. Ha ha ha! Got you again, you smart city bastard.
Thank you. Sure think so, too.
And finally, a word from the DLP.
Yellow peril.
Where?
Everywhere.
Pardon?
Millions of them. To the north, behind the door, under me bed. Lock up your women. Drop the bomb.
Why do you hate the Chinese?
Of course, African bongs are too big and strong.
Cleavage, the magazine for today's liberated woman. This month, Cleavage looks at sex again and asks, why not? And continuing Cleavage's series of East meets West, famed Japanese psychologist Chang Long Nee gets together with American sex therapist Dr. Joyce Tremble to bring you the Nee Tremble Method. And in an exclusive interview, we ask, is there sex after death? Read the Pope's amazing answer. Sex at Buckingham Palace. Cleavage looks behind the throne with a startling expose of the sex life of the Queen's corgis. Plus, Cleavage's nature boy of the month, Humphrey Bear. Cleavage, the pseudo-intellectual magazine designed to exploit today's liberated woman.
And now, without fear, without prejudice, and without pride, the ABC presents a searing chronicle of lust and raw animal passion. It's...
Blue Hills by Gwen Tedious. Episode 28,563. John and Mary are still out of town and don't look like returning. Elsie and Bert are tired. Jerry is still asleep. Michael and Pat just don't care anymore. And Harry's gone outside to kick a tree. Meanwhile, Connie visits Pat.
Are you there, Pat?
No.
Oh.
That was Blue Hills. Connie was played by Orson Welles, Pat by Lionel Rose, and Bird Noises by the Premier of Queensland. We interrupt this program to cross to our roving reporter.
Hello, this is Derek Roving, reporting to you from the International Air Terminal, where I'm speaking to the head of a new elite branch of the Customs Department, Ms. Dorothy Finchley. Hello, Dorothy.
Hello, darling.
Now...
When, then?
Later. Tell me, Ms. Finchley, what's this new division all about?
Well, we here at Checkpoint Arnold are charged with a specific duty.
What's that?
The detection and apprehending of person or persons engaged in the nefarious and illegal practice of forcibly concealing and transporting protected fauna outside the territories of the Commonwealth, to wit, Australia's national bird.
Which means?
Putting the arm on chook smugglers.
So, chook smuggling is on the increase, eh?
Enormously.
Why do you think is this?
Well, you see, in the east, our very own humble chooks, are regarded as highly erotic creatures, possessed of great and potent sexual stimulants, particularly the beak. A fact that you and I proved quite wrong last night.
Not now.
When?
Later. You mean they smuggle the whole bird for the beak?
Not necessarily. There are gangs out there in the suburbs, armed to the teeth with pinking shears, ready to pounce on any unsuspecting chook.
No.
Yes. It's all over in a flash. Do you realise that throughout Australia there are thousands of beakless chooks scratching in the dirt and thumping their heads on the ground? It's pathetic.
Tell me, how do you go about apprehending these chook molesters?
We have highly sophisticated techniques. Observe. See this man coming towards us? To your untrained eyes, he's just another businessman in a grey suit with grey briefcase and a pair of black jockets pulled over his head.
Yes, I see that.
Well, to my trained eye, something gives him away as a chook smuggler.
Would it be the chook in his breast pocket?
Correct. Now, observe my sophisticated interrogation techniques. Hey, you?
Yes?
Are you a chook smuggler?
No.
Well, if you're not a chook smuggler, here comes the trick question, Derek. What's that in your breast pocket?
A cocktail saveloy with feathers on it.
Pass. Breathe easy, Derek. False alarm.
Well, I must say, that was very exciting, Dorothy.
Oh, just routine, Derek. We're used to living on the razor's edge here at Checkpoint Arnold, ever vigilant, ever watchful, trusting no one, suspecting everyone. For we are the guardians. By the way, what's that lump in your pants? It's not a chook tied to your inside leg, is it?
Dorothy.
Just testing. Now?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, direct by satellite to all you folks throughout Australia, live from the beer garden of the Breakfast Creek Hotel in the heart of beautiful downtown Brisbane, we're proud to present the Logie Awards. And here's your host for this evening. Let's hear it for Slamming Bob Reber.
Hi there, customers, and welcome to the Logie Show. Well, tonight's the big one, an all-time record presentation night, because tonight, over the next 12 boring hours, we're going to give away 528 lucky Logies. Let's hear it for the Logies! And now, live and in person all the way from Hollywood, USA, America, our token superstar. Yes, let's hear it for Chuck Ripplejaw! Chuck, where'd you put him, Harry? Oh, I see. Oh, come on up, Chuck. Come on up. Perhaps one of our lovely hostesses could help Chuck out of his chair. That's the way. Now, come on, Chuck. You're doing fine. Up the stairs. Chuck, well, you can come that way if you like. Oh, okay, now, perhaps one of our lovely hostesses can help Chuck out of the curtain while we take a commercial break. Don't go away now.
How's it going, Charlie?
All finished. Tap fixed. See?
Very good, but what about the mess, Charlie?
No mess, Charlie. That's me. Got new cleaning stuff. See? Turns blue. Cleans deep down. Right through bath.
Charlie, do you have any psychological problems?
Got no problems. Got new cleaning stuff. See? Turns blue. Deep through shoe now.
Charlie, are you sure you don't have a speech impediment?
Got no speech impediment. Got new cleaning stuff. See? Turns blue. Makes lino curl off floor.
Charlie, I'm terribly worried about the way you speak. Now, I'm a speech therapist and I can help you.
Need no help. Got new cleaning stuff.
But, Charlie, the way you speak, it's unnatural. Now, I really want to help.
Mrs. can help. Mrs. can shut mouth while Charlie does commercial. Or Charlie make mess of Mrs. with wrench. And here, finally on stage, leaning next to me, is superstar Chuck Ripplejar. Yeah. How you feeling, Chuck?
Oh, wow. What a trip, Ralph.
Jet lag, huh? By the way, it's Bob.
Where?
Here, me.
Oh, far out, man. By the way, Ralph, I just want to say what a wonderful country you have here. It's wonderful. Just wonderful country.
Good, wonderful. Chuck. Good.
And the people here are so warm and friendly. They're just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people.
Good, Chuck. Anyway,
and I just want to say I've always wanted to visit here because I have a deep personal attachment to this country.
Really, Chuck?
Yeah, I once played a Mountie.
Yeah, good. Chuck. Now, moving on.
Right on. I can't wait to get out into your woods and shoot some more moose.
You mean kangaroo?
I didn't know you had kangaroos here, too. Wow, how about that?
They're kind of unique to the country.
Oh, wow, man, I thought they came from Australia.
They do.
Well, how come you got them jumping around Saskatchewan? I mean, they must have swum across, huh?
They don't swim.
Wow, that's one hell of a jump.
You've never been to Australia before, Chuck?
Right on, baby. I hope to get there next year. They want me to go there, you know, to present some bogeys or something.
You're in Australia now, Chuck.
Yeah, I... Wow, some trip, huh? I just want to say what a wonderful country you have here. It's a wonderful, wonderful country. The people are so warm, and you did say Australia.
That's right, Chuck. What do you say?
Can I have another drink? I think I'm going to fall over.
And sure enough, just like last year's Hollywood guest star, he's falling over. Let's hear it for him, Gustavus!
And welcome to day one of how to censor dirty, suggestive things on radio, television, and film. Today we shall explore the use of the bleep. This is a bleep.
Beep.
And this is how you use one. Now, there's a growing controversy in the community about suggestive song lyrics. However, discreet placement of the
beep
can neutralize these filthy, depraved words. For instance,
I could have beep all night. I could have beep all night. And still have beep some more.
And here's another filthy little ditty we cleaned up.
Beep, beep, beep.
Delilah. I saw her
beep
on the night when I passed by her window. I saw the flickering shadow of
beep
on the blind. She stood there
beeping.
Then I found my
beep
in my hand and she
beep
no more.
Boys and girls, welcome to Chuckle Corner. And here's your chief chuckler, Princess Joyce.
Thanks, Princess Thelma. G'day, little chucklers. Now, before we take off on our merry-go-round of mirth, it's medicine time. If you would, Princess Thelma.
There you are.
Bit more, Pip. That'll do. Can we have some medicine-taking music, please, Princess Michael? Last night I had a great chuckle. But I've forgotten it, so little chucklers, let's get off our merry-go-round of mirth before I chuckle again. And go to Pet Corner with Princess Ralph. G'day, Princess Ralph. How are our little furry things in the cold light of the day?
Not real good, Princess Joyce.
Join the club.
Righto, chucklers, here's Pet's Corner. Today, turtles. Little Mary Bullocks writes, Dear Princess Ralph, my turtle Arnold hasn't come out of his shell for 8 weeks. But I know he's in there because I can hear the shower running. How do I get him out? Well, little chuckler bollocks, it's very simple. Turn him on his back and run over his stomach lightly with a hot iron. If that doesn't work, bury him in the garden and get yourself another tadpole. Back to you, Princess Joyce. Cheers!
Cheers, Ralph.
Well, little chucklers, without further ado, it's time for... Oh, golly, dearie me, we seem to have run out of medicine, Princess Ralph.
That's sad, Princess Joyce.
Sad as bloody disastrous. Well, little chucklers, if Princess Ralph will slip us a couple of bucks, I'll jump into Noddy's chuckle wagon and whip round to the Chuckle Palace and pick up another six-pack of medicine. Take it away, Princess Ralph.
Run out, Princess Joyce, but drive carefully, because Noddy's chuckle wagon's light on for brakes and is out of regio. Now, little chucklers, let's skip into nature's realm. A little skipping music, Princess Michael. That's enough, thank you very much. Here we are in nature's realm. Let's meet our first furry friend, the goldfish. Little Benny Croc. He's aged 8 3/4, and Benny writes, "Do goldfish jump?" Well, the short answer, Benny, is no. But with patient training and a lot of love and understanding, no kicking, your goldfish will jump beautifully. And here's what you do. Ask Mummy to give you a long piece of string and then very carefully tie one end around the goldfish's tail. Remember, no kicking now. You tie the other end to a brick and you chuck it over the hedge. You will find that your surprise goldfish will tend to follow the brick, thus creating a jumping motion. Repeat this exercise often and soon you'll find that your goldfish will jump whenever he sees a brick. And if this doesn't work, bury him in the garden and buy yourself a tadpole.
And now a word from a truck driver.
Lorry.
Pardon?
Lorry Harbinger, that's my name.
Oh, what sort of truck do you drive?
A Mack.
Pardon?
A Mack, I drive a Mack.
Why do you drive a Mack?
Because poofs drive Bedfords. A Mack's a man's truck.
Oh, what about an international?
A transvestite's truck. High heels and nail varnish. Nancy boys. Anyway, what do you drive?
I drive a Mini.
Get a Mack. Make a man of you.
Oh, by the way, that hairdryer.
What about it?
Not too hot on your head, is it?
I can take it. I drive a Mack. Although I must say...
What?
These rollers are beginning to pinch a bit.
Welcome to Descriptions of Play in the first test between Australia and the MCC. The Poms won the toss and elected to bat, and at the crease now is their opening batsman, Colin Cowdrey, who at 106 years old is the youngest member of the team. Cowdrey will face the first ball from Lily. Lily faster than ever this year. And he comes into bowl, runs in, bowls, and oh dear, it's hit him in the groin. That was a good ball from Lily. Your comments, Richie?
Well, to be honest, I didn't see it, Alan. I was busy watching a seagull nod off on the scoreboard.
Thank you, Richie. Now, Cowdrey's on his feet again and about to face his second ball from Lily. Lily runs in, bowls, and... oh, dear, it's hit him in the groin. That delivery pitched well up. Richie?
Yes, yes, just as I thought. He's woken up. Funny little thing, seagulls. They all have insomnia.
Back with the play now, and Lily has the ball again. Cowdrey stands to face him.
Oh, look, here's a funny thing, Alan. The seagull went back to sleep and fell off the scoreboard.
Thank you, Richie. Lily turns, bowls. Oh, dear, it's hit him in the groin. The umpire signaled a no ball. Lily looks happy because he gets to bowl that one again. Cowdrey up on one knee now, faces Lily... as he runs in a little quicker this time, and oh dear, it's hit him in the groin.
I see the umpire's had a haircut, Alan.
Thank you, Richie.
I had one too.
Good, Richie. Lily's now walking back to his bowling mark. Cowdrey's not quite ready for the next ball. Down on his knees, face contorted abnormally. Could it be the sun in his eyes?
Yes, it could be the sun, Alan. It's not raining all that heavily. Those seagulls could do with a haircut.
Thank you, Richie. Cowdrey is still on his knees with his back to Lily, his bat thrown away. Lily runs in, calls to Cowdrey. Cowdrey turns and, oh dear, it's hit him in the groin. Well, that's a shame. Another no ball.
Cowdrey could do with a haircut, too.
And Cowdery's on his knees yet again, tears in his eyes, trying to say something to the umpire. Probably just agreeing about the no balls. Just a minute, he seems to be in some pain.
Yes, probably his feet, Alan. Being an umpire isn't all beer and skittles, you know.
Thank you, Richie. Anyway, Cowdery is still not quite able to stand by himself, being supported by two of the Australian fieldsmen who appear to be beating him about the head in a friendly manner. As Lily comes into bowl and, oh dear, it's hit him in the groin.
Ah, there's some excitement over on the hill, Alan. The seagulls have started walking up to the pies to... Ah, yes, it is. The umpire signalled lunch.
And as Lily leads the Australians off the field to a well-earned lunch, it seems that Cowdery is not very hungry because he's decided to have a sleep on the wicket. Now it's back to the studio.
BBC Television, in association with the Australian Broadcasting Commission and Time Life International, is proud to present...
Sir Laurence Olivier in The Search for the Nile.
In Russia, the man in the street says...
Russia produces finest ballet dancers in the world.
But in England, they say...
No, England produces the best ballet dancers.
While in America, they say...
Sorry, pal, our ballet dancers are the greatest in the entire universe.
And in Australia, they say...
Our poofs will beat your poofs any day.
Good morning, Mr. Burns.
Oh, yes, come in, Julie. I want you to take a memo to the managing director. Dear sir or madam, read your memo of the 16th...
Oh, I see you're doing the Reader's Digest It Pays to Increase Your Word Power quiz.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Certainly.
Oh, I've been having a go at it too, as well, also.
Good. I say, Julie, isn't that a new dress... Frock. Fashion. Gone?
No, yes. Yay. Verily. Agreed.
It's very becoming. Alluring. Revealing. Exciting.
Thank you, Tar.
Look, Julie, why don't you put down your book and come and sit here on my knee. Patella. Joints.
In fibulation?
Thanks. Gratitude. Appreciation.
No, I'd rather not.
Oh, come on, Julie. No one will see you. My God, you've got beautiful breasts, bosoms, tits, norks, boobs, thunderbolts.
Stop it, Alan. I'll scream, shout, yell, cry out, yodel.
You do, and you're fired, sacked, banished, ejected, shooed, booted.
Well, I'll tell your wife, spouse, better half, little woman, old cheese, trouble and strife.
Not Gloria. Gasp, shock, horror, stun, amaze.
In fact, you can stick your lousy job up your nose. Proboscis, trunks, nuts, conks.
Don't you dare slam that door, hatch, portal, threshold. Pucker. Damn, poo, blast, poo.
Excuse me, are you the vet?
Yes, come in.
Oh, thank you.
What's that with you?
My husband.
Oh, yes, of course. Sit, stay. Good boy. Have a biscuit.
But...
Be quiet. Down, boy. Now, what seems to be the problem?
Well, it's about our little...
Don't go on. I can see his problem immediately. He's a sick little fellow. Nose is burning.
It's my cigar.
Ah, quaint. Pet cigar. Don't look now, but someone set fire to its head.
No, you don't understand. It's
course,
about...
Of course, just joking. You've come here to have your husband done, right?
No!
Good idea. They only get fat, lounge around the house, stop chasing the ball. Sit, stay. Mind you, it does keep them close to the house.
Look, you don't understand. My husband's perfectly all right.
You're sure? Had his distemper shots, has he?
No, of course he has.
He has now. Down, boy, sit. Frisky for a dog of his age. How about rabies?
No,
I don't...
Wow! Gotcha! Down, boy. Sit. Stay. Have another biscuit.
Look, my husband is fine.
I know. He's just had his shots. You're a good boy, aren't you? Big. Up, up. Good! Have another biscuit.
Thank you.
Look, stop feeding my husband, and will you please have a look at our pet? He's sick.
I should hope so, otherwise you're wasting my time. Now, where is he?
Here.
Ah, yes. Hello, Rover.
That's not his name.
Butch?
No.
Fido? Toby?
He's not a dog, he's
Of course, just testing, it's a cat.
No.
A ferret?
No.
A sheep? It's a sheep, yes, I know, it's a sheep, I've seen them in butcher shops.
No, it's not, it is not a sheep, if you'll just listen to me, I'll
No, don't tell me, I know animals, I'm a vet, you know, I work with animals all day, but I'll take your word for it, so if it's not a sheep, the only other thing it could be is a blue-ringed octopus.
No.
A camel?
It's a goldfish.
Don't shout at me, madam, I'm a vet, you know, anyway, it can't be a goldfish, goldfish don't have fingers.
That's my glove.
Had its distemper shots, has it?
No. Ah!
Has now. Well, show me the goldfish. Good Lord, that's a bad cough he's got. Does it often, does he?
Only when he's out of water.
How old is he?
16.
I know what it is.
What?
Puberty. What he needs is a girlfriend. Yes, get him a yak. Got one out the back. In fact, I've got hundreds of them. Go out and pick a pretty one.
Don't be ridiculous.
Look, excuse me.
What? Oh, sorry, boy. I seem to have run completely out of biscuits. I don't know what.
What about my goldfish?
Good idea. Big boy. Up, up. Catch. Good boy. There, there. No goldfish, no problem. $20 or take the yak of your choice. Goodbye.
Mr. Edwards, doctor.
Ah, yes. Mr. Edwards, come in. I wouldn't sit there if I were you.
No?
No, it's a cactus. Oh.
Sorry.
Just lie back in the chair, clip on the napkin, nurse, and just put the sucker thing in, and you can go.
But you...
You can go.
All right, doctor.
Now, Mr. Edwards, I've had a look at your x-rays, and it seems you have 85 cavities, which, of course, accounts for the echo you were complaining about. There are two ways we can look at this. We can do them in easy stages over the next 6.5 years. Or I can do them all now. What do you think? Good, you're a brave man. Don't protest. Yes, you are.
I'm not.
Yes, you are. And being such a brave man, you don't want any of those silly sissy-poo things like gas or an injection.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. Now, I'll just test the... Yes, yes, fine, fine. Now, just open wide. Wider. Wider still. Bit more. That's it. Good. Just a little wider, if you can. Fine. So, I understand you've been seeing my wife. Keep still, Mr. Edwards. We don't want any accidents, do we? There. And rinse out. Good. No, don't struggle. There are only 83 to do. Now, open wide, and I said don't struggle, Mr. Edwards. Fine. Of course, in Italy, they most probably would have shot you, but here, of course, we're much more civilized. Don't struggle. Rinse.
Is that all?
Yes, all done. Well, I must say it's been interesting meeting you. I knew we could sort something out if we just had a civilized chat. Goodbye, Mr. Edwards. Come in, would you, nurse?
Has he gone?
Yes, very brave man, your husband.
Oh, darling.
Hi there, your old pal Tommy here with another in the series of Hero Dogs. Today, Trusty the Kelpie. It was a normal working day for Trusty and his master, Wally Graham, the boundary rider on Mullerina Station in Central Australia. Trusty had been a bit naughty that day, and Wally had to chastise him for eating all those sheep. But soon, Wally had forgotten their little quarrel as they went about their lonely chores. Then, fate stepped in. Wally's horse reared and threw him to the ground and broke his leg.
Oh, me leg's broken.
From out of the rocks, 18 death adders slowly slithered.
Jeez, death adders.
Frantically, Wally scribbled a note and said, "Here, Trusty, take this to the homestead."
"Here, Trusty, take this to the homestead."
"Go, boy," he said.
"Go, boy."
Trusty knew what to do. With those death adders getting closer, Trusty was away like the wind. Across the searing desert, the flinty stones tearing at his flying paws, Trusty ran on and on, never daring to stop, his hot breath rasping in his parched throat. Finally, around sundown, and at the point of exhaustion, Trusty came over the hill and saw the lights burning at the homestead window. He'd made it. With his last ounce of strength, he dragged himself to the tank stand, drank deeply, then went under the house and chewed up the note.